Our scripture reading this morning is from the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 1. I'll be reading verses 7 through 8 and then 10 through 18. And if you're using the Pew Bible, it is on page 226. It starts there, page 226. Some of this we looked at last week, and some of it is new. But before I read this, let me give you a little bit of context for something that we'll be reading. In the last part of the chapter, Joshua addresses three of the tribes of Israel, or really it's two and a half tribes, the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. Now, prior to this, at the end of the 40-year wilderness wandering, Moses led Israel in battle against two kings and against the people of these kings. One was Sihon, the king of the Amorites, and the second was Og, the king of Bashan. And these two geographical areas were on the east side of the Jordan River. So if I'm standing in the Sea of Galilee, and the Dead Sea is in the lobby, and the aisle here is the Jordan River, what we have is on the east, these two kings. Sihon was further south, closer to the Dead Sea in the southern region on the east side of the river. And Og and Bashan were north up here. And after they conquered these kings and the cities that were associated with these nations, these two and a half tribes asked Moses if they could settle in that part of the region on the east side of the Jordan River. Moses gave his permission, but on one condition, that when it came time for them to cross the Jordan into the western part and to drive out the other nations and to settle that portion, that the fighting men from these two and a half tribes would have to join with them and help them in the conquest. So that's just a little background for that. As we read through these verses, I'd like us to focus on the Word of God. Joshua is going to remind these tribes of their obligation, and what I want us to pay special attention to as I read not only that part, but the others, in particular, that the Word of God is being referred to here. Okay, that's going to be the focus of our message today. And it's referred to as the law, as something that has been commanded. It is referred to as well as a book that was written down. So let us hear God's Word, and Joshua chapter 1, starting in verse 7. These are God's words to Joshua. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Now, skipping down to verse 10. And Joshua commanded the officers of the people, "Pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, 'Prepare your provisions, for within 3 days you are to pass over this Jordan to go in and take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving you to possess.' And to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, 'Remember the word that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, The Lord your God is providing you a place of rest and will give you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your livestock shall remain in the land that Moses gave you beyond the Jordan. But all the men of valor among you shall pass over, armed before your brothers, and shall help them, until the Lord gives rest to your brothers, as he has to you. And they also take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving them. Then you shall return to the land of your possession, and shall possess it, the land that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you beyond the Jordan toward the sunrise. And they answered Joshua, all that you have commanded us we will do, and wherever you send us we will go. Just as we obeyed Moses in all things, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your commandment and disobeys your words, whatever you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. May God add his blessing to this reading of his word. Well, last time we looked at these opening verses of the book of Joshua, and we focused on what I called the long view of success. Moses has died, and God has appointed Joshua as the new leader of the nation of Israel. And they were poised on the east side of the Jordan River, getting ready to cross the river and take the land that God had promised to them, promised to Abraham, 600 years prior. God commissions Joshua. He promises him success as he leads the nation toward their goal. Joshua and the people will succeed, not because they were well trained in battle, not because they were well equipped or particularly resourceful. They will succeed because it's God's plan. And God's plans never fail, because God never fails. There will be opposition, there will be difficulties, there will be ups and downs, but from the long view perspective, the final outcome is set. They will win their battles because the Lord will fight for them. And so all will come to pass just as the Lord has said. They will inherit the land just as he has promised. Today we come back to this promise of success, but as I said, the focus this morning will be on the Word of God and its crucial importance for the success of the goal that God has laid before his people. There's also confirmation of the important role that Joshua has as the one who brings this word to the people. He's taking the place of Moses as the prophet, the mouthpiece of God to the people. What God commands to him, Joshua will in turn bring to the people, calling on them to follow him. As we think about these things, we should also be thinking about Jesus as our Joshua. As Joshua spoke for God, so Jesus in these last days has spoken for God and has brought to us God's final revelation. So this morning I have 2 points. The first is success depends on the Word of God. And the second point is success depends on doing the Word of God. So first, success depends on the Word of God. This first point goes along with last week's message. Our success in life is only guaranteed, it's only assured when our plans are part of and so are in sync with God's plan. And again, we succeed because God succeeds. Even what may appear to be failures at the moment, if we have been faithful to the Lord, then even these apparent failures are being used by God to bring about the ultimate success of his plans. We saw that the death of Jesus is the perfect example for this. Looked at from the short view, it appears to be a failure. But from the long view, we see that God uses it to bring about the forgiveness and the salvation of his people. And so we can conclude from that there is no investment of our time or of our effort or resources or money that is more secure than when we invest it in what God is doing. On the other hand, any time, effort, resources, or money that we invest independently, apart from God's plan, at best, will only have a temporary and fleeting success that will eventually fade away. Because only what God is doing will last forever. And so only when what we do shares in this lasting work of God will our achievements also have success that lasts. Well, how do we know that we're investing in God's plan? How do we know that we're investing in what's going to endure, in what's going to succeed? Well, we know this by the word that he has revealed to us. If we want enduring success for our labors, then we must be looking to the word of God for our instruction, because the word of God itself is enduring. Our meditation verse this morning from 1 Peter says, "The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever." Unlike the grass that looks great in May with all this rain, but turns brown in July, unlike that, what God says, his word is secure, it's dependable, it's unchanging, it's lasting. And so twice, once in verse 7 and once in verse 8, God tells Joshua to be careful. Be careful, Joshua, to do or live according to the law that God has commanded. Because, God tells Joshua, it's by following this law that Joshua will have success. Are you an instructions reader? A tech support company called Gadgets Helpline analyzed 75,000 calls over a two-month period. And they found that 64% of men and 24% of women did not read the instruction manual for their electronic device before calling for help. Now, I don't know what this says about men, but clearly most of us don't like reading instructions. Maybe you've seen one of those trick tests that tells you in the instructions to read through the whole test before answering any of the questions. And then at the bottom of the test, it says to go back and answer only question number one and leave the rest blank. Well, most people just start right in, right, answering all the questions without reading or following the instructions. Well, God has left us with an instruction manual for how to live life and how to live it with success. And that manual is the Bible, the scriptures, the words that God has spoken to us. If we want to know what God's plan is, it's here. If we want to know how we can get on board with that plan and live in sync with it, it's in here. If we want to know how to succeed, God has plainly told us, just as he told Joshua. If Joshua had said, you know, that law that God gave to Moses, it's not bad, has its good points, But I've got a few tweaks I'd like to make to it. Or worse, if Joshua never read it and just completely ignored it, do you think that he would have succeeded in this endeavor that he was about to lead the people of Israel into? And the answer, of course, is no. He would not have succeeded because God would not have been with him. To have God at our side, we also need to have his word. We live in a day when the word of God is being set aside. And regrettably, most regrettably, it's being set aside by large segments of the Christian community. It takes my breath away when I hear about this. I mean, think about it. The arrogance here is astounding. I can understand how the non-Christian world would have no interest in the scriptures, but how can we call ourselves followers of Jesus Christ and then set aside the words that he spoke and the words that he revealed through his prophets and through his apostles? I was just speaking with a pastor in another Presbyterian denomination, and he said that some of the elders of his church session wanted him to stop referring to people as sinners and to stop saying that Jesus is the only way to God. And that's despite the fact that the Bible says that all have sinned. And Jesus says that no one can come to the Father except through him. More and more churches are giving in to the postmodern ideas of sexuality and gender identity, rather than asking what God, who has made this world, has to say about these things. People feel free to ignore his word and come up with their own definitions and ideas. But what God says to Joshua here is striking. Twice he says, be careful to do all of it, all that is written in the law, not some, all. God says, don't turn from it to the right hand or to the left. Westminster Theological Seminary has a motto, and it comes from the book of Acts, Acts chapter 20, verse 27. And the motto is, the whole counsel of God. The Apostle Paul spoke those words in his farewell address to the elders of the church in Ephesus. He tells them that his conscience is clear because he did not shrink back from declaring to them the whole counsel of God. In other words, he delivered to them the entirety of the teaching that God had entrusted to him. He didn't leave anything out. In the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28, Jesus tells us to make disciples of all nations. Jesus says, teaching them all that I have commanded you. During his earthly ministry, Jesus is very critical of the religious leaders of his day who were selective about what parts of God's word they followed. He accuses them of being hypocrites because while they observed the outward and formal religious practices commanded in the law, they neglected the weightier matters, like honoring parents and doing justice and mercy. And so Jesus says that unless our righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, we will never enter the kingdom of God. The whole of God's law is important. We can't be pickers and choosers. So if you want to know the way to success, then we must know the Word of God. And we have to know it in its entirety, not just our favorite parts, not just the easy parts, but all of it. Again, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, the Apostle Paul says that all Scripture, all is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So do you want to be complete? Do you want to be well equipped for success? Then you and I need to know what God has to say. We need to know his whole word. We need to know the scriptures. In our day, we have so many opportunities, so many ways to be exposed to God's word, so many opportunities to read it and listen to it and listen to it taught. There's hardly an excuse not to know it. We live in a society where Bibles are in abundance. I have 5 different Bibles on my cell phone, including Greek and Hebrew, and they were all free. I can carry the whole Bible in my pocket. And if we want, we can have it read to us so that we can listen to it. Cell phone even does that. We live in a marvelous day. There are Bible memory apps. There are Bible study apps. All sorts of apps. We would do well to spend less time with social media and more time in God's word. If you need group support to help motivate you, we've got Sunday school classes. We have group Bible studies. We have small groups. Whatever it takes, do what you can to learn and to know, come to a knowledge of God's word. This is Mother's Day, so I want to remind all of us about the crucial role that mothers play in bringing God's word to your children. Mr. Legal brought this out well in the children's sermon. Dads have the most critical role here, but moms come in a very strong second. It was my mother who was my first teacher of God's word. She also saw that I got to Sunday school and Vacation Bible School and Junior Lutherans. My parents went to a Bible-believing Lutheran church. Sometimes she brought me to these things against my will. Yes, I can say that. My passion for God's word was not always what it is now, but that passion was gradually cultivated by a mother who saw the importance of God's word for her son. So moms, read the scriptures to your children when they're young. Teach them how to read it for themselves. Help them to learn it, to memorize it. My children still remind me of a hokey computer game we used to play together in the 90s called Captain Bible. And it helped them to learn Bible facts. We want to be people who remember the word of God. In verse 13, God calls on the people to remember the word, or Joshua calls on the people to remember the word that Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded. We want to be people who speak the word of God to ourselves and to one another. In verse 8, God says to Joshua, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth." We want to be people who are laying up God's word in our hearts. Again, in verse 8, God tells Joshua to meditate on it day and night. In other words, think about it. Think about how it applies to your life, to your relationships, to your work, to your habits, to your leisure time. But of course, it's not enough to just know the word of God. To be successful, we need to do it. And that's our second point. And I'm only going to touch on this briefly. To be successful, we have to put the word of God into practice in our lives. In addition to remembering it, speaking it, and meditating on it, God tells Joshua that he must be careful to do all according to all that is written in it. And what we see in the verses that we read is that as God calls Joshua to do the word, so Joshua calls the people to do the same. And in verses 16 and 17, the people respond by saying, "Just as we obeyed Moses in all things, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses." The people recognize that as was Moses, Joshua is now God's spokesman. And so they commit to following his instructions. As we said earlier, Jesus has now followed Joshua and has spoken the final word of God. And so if we hope to have success, we must follow, we must put into practice the words of Jesus. Listen to what Jesus says. This is at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus says, Anyone then who hears these words of mine, again, this is after he has finished his teaching, his preaching in this sermon. He says, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock." And then he goes on to say, "And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house and it fell, and great was its fall." Do you want to have success? Do you want to enter the land, to enter the kingdom of God, the land into which Jesus leads all who follow? Then we must be people who follow his words. Those who neglect his words will fall just like that house on the sand, built on the sand. Our passage for today ends with some very sobering words. They say that those who would disobey Joshua would be put to death. And I'm here to say today that this is no less true for us who disobey Jesus. Now, thankfully, we serve a patient God who is full of mercy and who is ready to forgive all who disobey him. Jesus, who calls us to obey him, also died on a cross for those who disobey him. But to receive the benefit of his death, to receive his forgiveness, his pardon, then we need to renounce our rebellion. And we need to turn to him in new obedience. You say, "Well, I've done that, but then I've disobeyed him again." Well, then renounce your sin again and turn to him again. He will receive you. The Bible says that he will abundantly pardon. God says he will turn no one away who comes to him. This is the good news that Peter spoke about in the meditation verse this morning. This is the good news of Jesus Christ that has been proclaimed to us in God's word. And I'm preaching it to you today. Do you want success? Do you want true and eternal success? Then be people who know the word of Jesus Christ and do it. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you that you have loved us so, that though we are rebels in our hearts and come into this world as people who would oppose you and even do away with you. Yet you have loved us and you have given us your one and only Son. Thank you that you have revealed your word to us. You have given us your wise and good instructions. Instructions that if we follow will lead to success, not because of our greatness, not because of our goodness, but because of what Jesus has done for us. We thank you that he is our Joshua, that he is a faithful leader, that he has brought your word to us. Help us, Lord, to believe his word, not only to believe it, but to follow it. This we pray, Lord, and we ask it in his name. Amen.